Today we're going to speak about a number of topics that have to do with things that are happening as we prepare for and actually start the Shechita. And the first is the bracha that's made on the Shechita. The Shulchan Aruch has two opinions about whether a person who speaks between one Shechita and the next has to repeat the bracha or not. I mean, he makes a bracha when he starts the Shechita, and then he spoke between that and the next one. The way the Shulchan Aruch says it, it appears that he's being machmir on it, and the Shach says that the early Achronim also agreed to that. Most of the Achronim agreed to that he should be machmir. However, the Taz says that it's really still a shayla, and Safa brachas lahakol, and therefore a person should not repeat the bracha if he spoke in between. The Taz explains that the machlokes, whether you do or don't have to make a new bracha, is should we view one shechita to the next shechita as similar to putting on a tefillin shorosh and tefillin shayad, that if you speak between them, you have to make a new bracha, or should we view them as someone who speaks in the middle of a meal? Once you started the meal, you made a bracha on the food at the beginning of the meal. Even if you speak in the middle, that's not anymore a hefsek. It's just a continuation of the same meal, and you don't have to make a new bracha. So the Taz says, Sava brachas lahakol, and the Simcha Chadasha says that that's what you should do also. And that's the common minhag, that even if a person speaks a little bit, something that's not related to Shechita, then even so, he does not make a new bracha. Okay, so now, a little further is that many shechtim, they make a bracha at the beginning of the day. They shecht for, let's say, an hour, and then they'll go on a break. And most of them do not make a bracha when they come back from their break. Come back from the break and start shechting, and they don't make a bracha. So you could question that. The way the Simcha Chadasha says is that if the shechit, you know, this whole discussion we had before and about speaking in between is when he made a little bit of a hefsek like that, but basically he's still shechting. But if he goes someplace else, then he gets involved in other things, then he should need to make a new bracha. Everyone agrees you have to make a new bracha, and seemingly a person who goes to daven and to eat and to shmooze and this and that seemingly would qualify for that, with the Simcha Chadasha says everyone agrees you have to make a new bracha. But the justification seemingly is based David, and the Beis David says the following. He says, anytime they're sitting the makam kavur lishchayt, and they're planning on shechting whatever comes up, that's considered that there's no hefsek, and they continue to not make a bracha, even though they did what would appear to be a big hefsek in between. And if you treat the whole building, the whole area, as a makam kavur lishchayt, then that would be an explanation for why they don't make a new bracha, even though they've gone for a big break, and they're eating, and they're schmoozing, and doing their things, even so they wouldn't do it. And in which case, the only time that a person would actually make a new bracha is if the workday was over, meaning they were on from, I don't know, from 9 to 12, you know, on and off they were shechting, and at 12 o'clock they were finished, they said, go home, you're done. And then, as they're leaving, or they're already packing all their stuff up, all of a sudden they realize, oh no, we're short somebody, and they bring the person back in. So in that case, seemingly, there's no, for sure that person would have to make a new bracha, he's completely finished with his original shechita, and he'd have to make a new bracha before it starts again. Now, before we get to the next couple of things, I'm just going to describe the five hilchos shechita, the shehi, drasa, chalada, hagram, and ikur. The Gemara says that these are the five hilchos shechita, and I'm just going to describe them for a second, each because we're going to use those words as we go on, particularly today, two of them, and just mention them quickly. And they are, any of these five things, if they happen, the shechita is puzzle. The animal's in the vela. A shehiyah means if you pause, you break in the middle of the shechita for too long. Ashkenazim, hamachman, even for a drop, but if you pause for too long, that ruins the shechita. A drusa means you pressed with a knife instead of slicing, like you chopped with it, or you banked, pushed with it, instead of slicing the way shechita is supposed to happen. The chalada means something's covered. We're going to speak more about today exactly what that means. So it was a covering on the night for the neck, and you can't see what you're supposed to. Hagrama means you shechted in the wrong place. Usually that means you shechted too high, but potentially you could shecht too low also on the neck. And ikur means when you rip out the simanim in different kinds of ways, and that's ikur is generally the thing that's wrong with a pegimah. When there's a pegimah on the knife, it does an ikur on the simanim rather than a slicing and a cutting the way it's supposed to. Okay, having quickly run through those five hilchos shechita, we have the following. The Rama says, yesh lizahar, it's a good idea to be careful that when you're shechting a sheep with a lot of hair on its neck, that you should shear that area of the neck where the shechita is going to happen to prevent the chalata. Because if you don't, if you leave the wool there, then the wool might drape over the knife and the makam ha-shechita, and therefore you should shave it off before you start the shechita. Now, there are lots of shechtim who, in more recent years, who would do what they make called a shvil. I mean, just made a path in there. They didn't shave off the wool. They just made like a path in there, and they just separated with their hands to make sure that it was nice empty space where there's no chavoda, and then they would do the shechita. But nowadays, that's not what's done. In more recent times, we do what the Rama says, that we shave, the necks are shaved off beforehand, and if they won't shechta off, if it wasn't shaved properly, they won't shechta the animal as kosher. They'll consider it a day. Okay, we'll do what basically the Rama says. Now, we're going to mention a number of times that we've said that chalada means it has to be a covering. So the mechaber has two days about what happens if there's a covering, a chalada, but it's not on the part of the knife which will be used for shechita. It's on the far parts of the knife, far away, where you're not going to be shechting it. He brings two days and he says lechatchila you should be machmer that even those parts of the knife should not be covered over. And therefore, wool for a sheep would mean is it's not just a matter of making sure that you cut away the area right around the makom shechita, but you also have to be careful that there isn't wool from another part, something else draping over the end of the knife. A chalaf could be very long, 16 inches long, so at the end of the chalaf, there may be wool hanging from something else, so lechatchil the shechit should be careful that there should be no wool on those parts either. Now, the Shach over there says that, this din that it says about cutting off shaving the wool from a sheep's neck before you do shechita really should apply by chickens as well. Chickens and other birds have feathers, and those feathers can also create a chalav, like covering over the knife from the shechita. He says, so really, in theory, that's what should be done. You should also remove those feathers. But he says, Lamai says, if you pull out the feathers, it potentially causes a different problem. Plucking the feathers could cause an ikuvus haveshed. The veshed is right there at the makom hashechita, and if you make a hole in it, even if you have a suffix that you made a hole in it, the animal is considered a trefa. And therefore the Rama says that if a person can check without removing the feathers, that's better. That's the better choice. I mean, in theory, you'd want to get rid of the feathers to avoid a chalada, but the other choice, which is you might make the animal to a trefa, so you're better off if you can to shechta without plucking the feathers. If there's no choice, then you pluck the feathers. And interesting is that with modern breeding, some of the slaughterhouses, what they'll do is they bedavka purchase birds that are bred to have few or no feathers on their neck, connected to the naked neck breeds, and therefore, that avoids this whole problem for the shechtim. They don't have to pluck feathers, and they don't have to worry about chaladas either, and it makes the shechita go that much smoother at this place. Okay, now, the Rama says that any time you make a cut in the animal's neck, and it bleeds, that's automatically a subject of an ikuvus haveshed. Any bleeding on the neck, you cut something and it causes it to bleed on the neck, you have to be cautious. Maybe you punctured the veshed also. The Shach says that, it could be that din is only true when you cut through the skin, meaning the skin of the animal, the hide is pretty thick, or at the neck there, it's reasonably thick. So if you cut through and it bleeds, but it doesn't all the way through, he says, those will make it. And he says, and therefore, if you were shaving off the wool of the sheep's neck, and the shaving off the hair, you nip the neck and cause it to bleed a little bit. So the Shach says there are those who would be machmir by causing the bleed, even though it didn't go through all the way through, didn't go through to the skin. And the Shach and Kimbam say that except makom hesed merubah, a person should be machmir for that. That's the truth. They say you should be machmir, but the truth, in practice, most people follow Pesach Teshuvah, who brings that no, you could be mekel as long as it didn't go all the way through. But even though the mekelim say that that's not by a chicken. By a chicken, the skin is so thin that if there's any kind of a cut on it, you have to assume it went through, and there's a shayavin kuvus haveshed. So the pictures you see here are examples of that. The picture on the left is a sheep. They were trying to shear the neck, and this was cut off afterwards, as you can imagine. And they cut the skin and it bled. And you could see the larger picture of what the cut looked like. So it was a nice cut over here, and it bled, But if you look at the other side of the skin, meaning from the inside of the animal, it's not so clear in the picture, but the cut does not go all the way through. The cut didn't go through on the outside, and therefore, assuming that you can be mako, that you, as long as it doesn't go all the way through, this animal would not be considered a veil. I'm sorry, would not be considered a trait. Okay, now, one last thing is that we've talked about shaving the hair of a sheep in order to prevent problems of kalada, and then the related question of the nekuvas havesha, when you do that shearing. There's other things that are done to the animal's neck, even if it's not a sheep, and that is, if the animal's neck is dirty, I don't mean dirty, as in has sand or dirt or rocks that are stuck in its neck, it's more likely to cause a begima in the chalav. And therefore, it's very common that before shechita, particularly for cattle, before shechita, they hose down the area, the neck area. They just power wash it just for a few seconds. And other people also will use what's called a steel curry comb. They just rub it through the animal's hair on the neck. That's just a way of loosening and removing anything that might be there. Those are all there. Again, these are not for chalada reasons. These are reasons to avoid a begima in the chalav, because as we mentioned beforehand, if there's a begima in the chalav, if you find a begima after shechita, the animal is considered a veil because you're not sure exactly when it happens. Okay, and our next thing to talk about is, the Rama says the following. The Rama says, lo yaniach ha'etzbal ha'sakin, a person should not put his knife put his finger on the knife, el yachsel oisa bakate, he should hold it on the blade, on the handle, kadesh liyobu de drusa, a drusa, so he shouldn't come to make it to be a drusa, which is to say is, that by putting his finger in the wrong place might cause him, or might encourage him to press onto the neck instead of slicing the way he's supposed to, and therefore he should avoid doing that as a way to avoid making him into a drusa. Now, that ketshuva means that there are two ways to understand what that means. One way to understand it would be is he shouldn't put his finger on the blade. Okay, the point being is that if he puts his finger on the top of the blade, on the top of the blade, or the gav, or the spine of the blade, if he puts it on top there, then he'll push down. And pushing down would, of course, be a drusa. That would be make the animal to the veil. That's the implication of the first few words of the Rama, which is Lemiah, that's for Al-Hasakin. Al-Hasakin seemingly means on the top of the knife. But the other possibility that Dr. Chu brings is that maybe he means that you should put your finger on the along the sides of the knife. Hold your fingers, on the side as you see in the other picture there, fingers around the blade. And then also somehow that would potentially cause the animal to be a drusa. Shechem not so clear how that would work. Shechem actually thinks that you have a better control if you put your hand there. The implication is that there's a basil who sounds like it means that maybe somehow you don't have such good control when your fingers are in that spot instead of on the handle. Again, the Shechem weren't so clear about that. And the Daki Chuba brings that the Shechem actually like to put their fingers there because they want to make sure that the back of the chalaf, the okets, the back, the corner, the bottom back of the blade near the handle doesn't end up hitting the neck. Of course, if it would, that would be an ikur. They wouldn't be allowed to hit. You wouldn't be allowed to hit the neck with that. So they want to keep their fingers over that spot to make sure they don't push the chalav too far. But anyhow, such is a possibility that even such a possibility, and that sounds like the middle of the Rama, because he says el yachs osa bakate. You have to hold it on the handle. If he meant just don't put your finger on the top, why do you have to say don't hold? You have to hold the handle. Saying that you have to hold the handle implies the problem here. You can't put your finger anywhere on the blade, not just on the top. You can't even put it on the side either of the blade. In fact, the Chuba says he thinks that the ikur is like the first shot, that the problem is to put the finger on the top. And if you want to put your fingers on the side, then that's okay. In fact, he brings it that there are shechtim who prefer that to avoid the ukits, the corner, the very end of the knife, bang into the neck. Now, that's what the Rama says. And the Rama says that the point here is to avoid a drusa. The question is, a number of the Achronim speak about is, okay, we talked about how to avoid making it into a drusa, but why are we concerned about just about a drusa that maybe you'll press down when you do this? Why isn't this a chalada? The Shechetz guy has his finger on top of the knife, as we explained. He's got on top of the blade. If he's got his finger on the top of the blade, that he's covering over the blade. So why isn't that considered to be a chalada automatically? So forget about maybe he'll make a drusa. It's an automatic chalada. So I'm going to mention four possible answers to that question. One is, we spoke about it earlier, that the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions as to whether if the chalada happens on the part of the knife that doesn't is not the part that's going to be cut with, whether that's considered halad at all. And he says, l'chatkili should be machmir, but according to the Mekilim, we don't understand it. According to the Mekilim, it could be that the person has his finger on the top of the blade, not on the part where he's cutting with. He has it on the very part near the handle, and he's cutting with the later parts. So he's not even the juicer, or they're not relevant. If you would have it under there, then it would be a problem with juicer. Okay, that could be one answer, according to the Mekilim in that day in the Shulchan. Okay, a second answer. The thing is that if a chalav has a begim at any part of the knife, you're not allowed to shech with that. Okay? And the concern is because if it's a pekima, you might push, you know, either you think you're only going to shech with this side of the knife, but you may end up shechting on the wrong, too far in, and you're going to cut with the part with the pekima. So the thing is, you're not allowed to shech that knife with a knife that has a pekima, even if the pekima is not the place where you can be shechting. But what happens if it's yontif? A person wants to shech the animal on yontif, and on yontif you can't shech the chalav. So you have a knife, and you want to shech with it, and there's a pekima at one of the ends. So if you tell me that I can't sharpen the knife on Yom Tov, so I'm not going to shech. So then the din is that you could cover over the part of the knife that has, put like a shmata around the part of the knife that has the pekim in it, that way you'll be extra careful, you won't basically be impossible to shech on that side, and then you can shech with the knife even though it has a pekima on a part that you're not shechting with. Now, if we say, I just mentioned them a few times already, the Mechaber says, you're not supposed to have a chalada even on the parts of the knife you're not shechting with. So how does it help you to cover over the knife? It avoids the problem of hitting the begima, but you're banging into a chalada problem. So the Marsham says, you see from there, and you see from our Rama about putting the finger on the blade, both of those, you see that a chalada only happens when the thing that's being machlid, if that thing is stationary. So it's stationary, and you can't see the blade moving because there's this cover over it. But if the cover is on the blade, and when you move the blade, the cover moves with it, then that's not a chalada, because then you see the blade moving back and forth. You haven't done a certain part, you're not noticing, but you see the movement back and forth because there's nothing covering and blocking you from seeing that. So in the case of the knife on the finger on the blade, the finger's on the blade, it's true, and that would potentially be a chalad, he's saying. He says, but it's not a problem, because if the finger moves along with the chalad, the shaykh is holding the chalad in his hand, moving back and forth, that doesn't block you from seeing the shchita, seeing it moving, and that's not considered chalad. And the same thing on yamtiv. When the person wrapped the shmata around one part of the chalad, cover moves together with chalav, so there's no problem of a chalada because you're not missing anything. You can see everything you want to, and you notice the thing moving back and forth. But Simcha Dush says it's not true. He argues, and he says, no, it doesn't make a difference. Even that's considered a chalada also. Even if it moves with the knife, that's also considered a chalada. But then he gives a very much simpler answer to the question about yontif. This is not going to help for our case, the case of yontif. As I said to you, it's only the chetchila that you're not allowed to do a chalot on the part of the knife that you're not using. He says, okay, that's lechatchila, but here we have a shasat chak. The person can't check the yontif if he doesn't remove, if he doesn't do something to cover up the begima. So, by covering up the begima, you're having a chalot in the part of the knife that you're not using. That's only good for the evid. Okay, we're in a situation of a shasat chak, the evid dummy, and therefore the reason why you're allowed to cover it is because in this case, we ignore the possibility that it might be a chalot. It does, theoretically, it might be a chalot, even if it moved back and forth, but we ignore that. So that answers the question from Yontif, doesn't help us for our case, according to the Simcha Chadasha, but that doesn't give us an answer for why putting your finger on top of the knife is not a chalot. Okay. Third answer. The Shulchan Aruch has another machlokes about chalot, and that is, what happens if the thing that's causing the chalot, is that only a problem if that thing is attached to the animal? Like in the case of the wool that's attached to the sheep's neck, it's attached to the animal. If that covers over the blade, that's a chalada. Or there's another case in Shulchan Aruch is where the blade is underneath the hide, the skin of the animal. So again, the animal's skin is covering over the knife. But what happens if there's an outside item? Okay, even in cases where it doesn't have to be permanently part of it, you have something tied onto the animal, something that's part connected to the animal is doing the chalada, that's what causes the chalada. But what happens if it's not something connected to the animal at all? It's something from the outside that's doing the chalada. The Shulchan Aruch has 2 days about whether that's considered a chalada or not. And he says, you should be machmir lechatchila. And the Taz says, I have a right from the Gemara that's not that you could be Mekel. I have a right to the Gemara like those who are Mekel about this thing. What's the right? The Gemara said, talks about whether a person could do Shechita of a fetus before it's born. The Shechita is going to stick his hand into the mother's womb, into the cow's womb, and going to shech the animal when it's inside. So logistically, I haven't a clue how you do that, but somehow that's what he's going to do. So the Taz says, okay, well, that's very nice. Whatever the Gemara talks about, why that should or should not be okay, he says, but why isn't it a halada? Because obviously you can't see the knife or anything. The whole thing is inside. You can't see a thing, a blessed thing. So why isn't that a halada? Automatically, the shechita should be puzzled as a halada. So he says, you see from there, that the only problem with halada is when the thing that's causing, that's the cover, is something from the animal itself, or something attached to the animal. But over here, the mother is not considered part of the animal. I mean, even though sort of there's a connection, but no, he doesn't consider that to be a connection. So the thing that's causing the halada is not from, nothing to do with the animal being shechted, and therefore, he says, that's why it's not a halada. Okay, so you see from there, like the mekilim, that the thing that's making the halada has to be connected or part of the original animal. Kuzi Ketzel says, no, he doesn't accept that. He says, no, the reason why it is, because it's impossible. And if there's no other way to do it other than halada, somehow, that doesn't count as a chalada. Not sure why. That's what the Kuz Ketzel says. Okay, but according to the Taz, we have no problem with the Shechet's finger being on top of the blade because the Shechet's finger is not part of the animal or not connected to the animal, and therefore it wouldn't be a chalada. And the last answer we mentioned is, the fourth answer, is from Simba Chadasha. And he has a very fundamental question about chalada. I keep talking about chalada, about things being covered. And he says, what is it that's not supposed to be covered? What is it that we say, don't cover this, or else it's going to be a chalada? Does it mean the knife? Is it the knife that has to be not covered? Or is it the knife and the makam hashchita? What is it that we're trying to avoid having a cover on? The thing that has to be not covered is the makom hashchita. I mean, we shouldn't really care if the knife is covered. If the knife is covered, but you could see the shchita clearly, the shchita mufuraz, it's called. You could see, that's a borrowed term, but you could see the shchita clearly from the side, then that's not, he said, it seems that should not be considered a chalada. So like in our case, when the shechita has his finger on the knife, you can't see the whole knife because his finger is covering it. But you can see the shchita, you can see the shchita perfectly because from the side it's not covered. So that should be mutter. And he brings rias lahakol, a number of rias that you could make about this din. But in the end, he brings that there are those who are machmir about that. He says, look, a person should be machmir about that din. Prima Gadim is even stronger, has more rias that you should be machmir. Then the Prima Gadim says, like, very cryptically, there's no kasher from the din of a finger on the blade. He just doesn't tell us why. He just says, it's not a kasher, not a shayla, don't worry about it. Somehow that's not a Ryan. And the Achronim, the Dr. Chua brings different Achronim to talk about what did the Prima Gadim mean when he said that. So seemingly with Machmer, the Yad is Mekel, and the Yad Yehuda is Mekel. So according to Yad Yehuda, those who be Mekel about the Shaila, we would say the reason why there's no Chalad is because there's nothing being covered. The knife is being covered, but that doesn't make a difference. The whole thing we care about is if the knife and the neck are covered.